wonderful thing for kids who don't have a lot. And let's go ahead and bless them. Oh, I love you. Yeah, well, thank you. Two of you. I appreciate that. I love you so much. And I, you know what I love about is, over a year ago, Pam and I moved in with my daughter and granddaughter. I was a little nervous. But I love it. I love living with them. And it is so enjoyable to see my granddaughter learn and grow up. And the other day, Amber's an amazing mother. And the other day, it's been maybe a couple, 3 weeks ago, Lily was trying to get Mom's attention. Now, Lily, when she's trying to get your attention, she won't stop talking. And she'll keep pushing and talking to you. And Mom would not answer. And she was doing something, but Lily kept, she kept getting closer, and finally Amber stopped and said, "Lily, please, I'm processing what you're saying." Now, I smiled about that. And then it was several days later, sitting at the table, and Amber told Lily to do something, and Lily was doing something at the table, getting ready for school. And Amber said several times, and finally said, "Lily, you're not listening to me." And she said, "Yes, I am, Mom, I'm processing it." Oh, you got to be careful what you say. And that just made my day, I tell you. Can I tell you a war story? One of my war stories. For those who don't know, I'm a war hero. I was in the Vietnam War. That's like ancient history. And the first 7 months, I walked point. And when you walk point, you got to watch for things, and you got to be careful where you walk. You have to be careful on the trails, and because there's booby traps. Found many of them as I was walking point. Found 8 millimeter. What am I trying to say? Rounds, which would blow you apart. And so you learn, people who are following you, that they stay on the same path and even try on the same footsteps. I mean, you can't do that, but you try. And you don't mess up. Because following the leader will save your life. Now, I'm at the end of my tour. I have about 20 days left. And I left 15 days early. They sent me home early. And so I didn't know it, but I only had like 5 days left. At this point, I'm not walking point. I am scared to death. I mean, I am so fearful. And I am now at this point, we're walking down a trail. And I am the last guy. Scared to death. Now, did I tell you that you follow the leader? Because if you don't, you can find yourself in real trouble. Well, I knew that. But sometimes you just get dumb as a rock. And so we're going down a path that comes to a kind of a fork in the road, fork in the path, I should say. And we go left. And I'm just kind of watching, and I'm at the end, and I'm looking down the path, and there's this little tree there, and I decide, like a dumbbell, to just go around that tree. No one else did. They went here, and I'm just going to go around. And I took a couple steps and started to turn, and there was a booby trap. I didn't see it. I stepped on it, and I died. And no, I'm kidding. That's a joke. I'm alive. But I did not follow protocol. I did not do the smart thing and follow the leader. 5 days left, I made a big, big mistake. Fortunately, God's grace and His mercy, I saw the booby trap and went back and followed the leader. Now this morning, we're going to talk about following Jesus, the leader. And it's amazing to me how few really follow Jesus Christ. I think most of us would say, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ. And we might even say, I follow Jesus Christ. But I think there's some things to look at to really see, are we following Jesus Christ? And what is following Jesus Christ? What is it that the Word of God tells us to follow Him? Well, let's read the text that I have in your notes there in Mark 1, 14. Jesus begins His ministry in verse 14. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Jesus says, repent and believe the gospel. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew and his brother and brother of Simon casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on for a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Now, when you think about that, how incredible that is, here comes along a guy and just say, hey, follow me. Well, it's not quite that simple and that bold or glorious, because when you read the other parts of the gospel in different places, you get a picture of what's really transpiring there. Jesus comes along. They haven't caught anything all day. He tells them to throw on the other side, and they catch a whole load of fish and even breaks the net. And so then Jesus said, hey, follow me. And I think there was in their head, in their mind, that, hey, this guy is going to make us rich, or this guy is worthwhile following, he'll take care of us, or, hey, this guy is going to have a corporation, and maybe one of us will be a CEO. Now, you might think, oh, that's kind of far-fetched, but later on, they were arguing amongst themselves, who is going to be more important, and who will be on his right hand or his left hand? And so there was this thing inside of them. Their motive wasn't pure. Their motive was kind of selfish in following Jesus. Now don't think that sounds strange, because none of you came with the right pure motive of love when you first came to Jesus Christ. You came to Jesus Christ to get something, your salvation. You came to Jesus Christ to keep you out of a fiery hell. And your motive was, God save me. Now that's okay. That's okay, but if you stay in that place the rest of your life and you don't follow Him, you're going to come up short in your Christian life. And you won't know victories. You won't know the will of God. You won't know the satisfaction that comes with following Him. And such satisfaction that so fulfills you that even in the difficulties of life, you have a joy that the world can't understand, a peace that the world can't understand, something that is in God because you're following Him. I mean, when you consider in the history of the church, you see incredible things taking place in people's life in their darkest hours. You see them rejoicing that they could give their life for the cause of Christ. I mean, it's an amazing, wonderful thing that will transpire in a life when they follow Jesus, when they do His will, and they do His bidding. Well, what is following Jesus? Well, let's read a little more and see what is said there. He said in that one part, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. That's the first thing that He tells the disciples. The first thing and the last thing that He tells His disciples. So can you see how important this would be? He tells them to follow Him and He will make them fishers of men. At the end, He says, I want you to go in the whole world and make disciples. Now think about that. So, are you doing that? So that's the first thing. That's the first thing. I mean, daily, is that your activity? Is that your thinking? Is that the process of your life as you process what you're going to do during the day? Is that on your mind that you're thinking about someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ? Because that's what Jesus is all about. That's what He called us to do. So you can understand why I say that most of us are not following Jesus. Because we're not doing even a very basic thing that He called the church to do. And do I want to bring condemnation? No. No. I put on my pants like you. I have weaknesses like you. I am just like you. And all the frailties and the weaknesses. But I think we could make some steps toward Jesus, don't you? I think in our life that we can make some changes and we can, instead of going a different path, we can get on the path with Jesus Christ and begin to do some of the things and the basic things that He has called us to do. Now, when you think about Jesus Christ Himself, remember what He said? He said, my meat. In fact, I have the scripture with you if I can find it. John 4 on the right-hand side there. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But He said to them, I have food to eat of that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought Him something to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. Now, so Jesus, He wasn't just a guy out there doing His own thing. He was doing what the Father was doing and what the Father told Him to do. That His will was His meat. His will was what satisfied Him. The will of God, doing the will of God and the will of the Father. His will gave Him meat and sustenance for His life. Now, I want you to think about that. Now, if God... It was E. Stanley Jones that said this. His will, my meat. My will, my poison. Isn't that good? E. Stanley Jones. His will, my meat. My will, my poison. Now I want you to think about that because what are you feasting on? No wonder we're weak and frail. No wonder a wind of adversity comes along and throws us off of our feet and messes us up in a way because we're so weak and frail because we're not following Jesus. Because you see, in following Him, He sustains us or He gives us something of strength and power in our life, and you can't get it any other way. any of it following Jesus Christ. Now, we know how important it is to read the Word of God, and we push that a lot. We know how important it is to, but let me tell you, just reading the Word of God is not following Jesus. Oh, it's part of following Jesus, and it's important because it builds our faith and our trust and our hope in Him, and it does something in us. And our problem in our church is not that we study too much. Yeah. No, that's true, right? How many of you spend 4 hours a day studying? Oh, I better not raise my hand. I'm the pastor. 3.5 hours maybe, but not four. It's interesting, though, that when you get out there, and how many listen to other pastors and podcasts and things? I do, and I encourage other people to do it. I tell you, you got to be careful sometimes because you get someone who they are so knowledgeable in the Word of God, but after you listen for a while, you begin to get the idea they're really not following Jesus. And you know why I say that? They're critical of people, and they're critical of other ministries. When you see Jesus, you don't see that. You don't see a man who is critical of people, but a man who is going to lay down his life for people. The only ones that he came against were the scribes and Pharisees, the religious people, those who studied too much and didn't follow God. I'm serious. They knew the Word of God. They knew it so much that they nitpicked at people. And Jesus said, beware. Beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. These were guys that looked at the Word of God and then judged people by it. And they're thinking how the Word of God was. They weren't following God. They were critical. They weren't helping other people. Now, why do I say that? Because when you see the love of Jesus, you see not a guy that's nitpicking, but a guy that loved people. A guy that hung out with people. That's what he was all about. He loved God, and his meat and sustenance was doing the will of God. But it also had to do with people and hanging out with people and just liking them, just caring about them. He was criticized for that, by the way. He was criticized by that because he hung out with some gnarly people. Why? They didn't like it. He hung out with some people who drank. And so they started talking about him and said, he's a wine bibber. I don't know, maybe he had a sip or two himself. I don't know. But they had an attitude toward people, toward Jesus Christ. They weren't following Jesus. They weren't following God. They weren't doing the will of God. Their sustenance was not in following God, but their sustenance was in themselves, and it poisoned in them. And they were trying to be the best they could, so to speak, but it wasn't in God. It was in themselves. Jesus loved people. Jesus followed people. I mean, Jesus reached out to people. He cared about people's lives. Paul said something like this, and I love this, because what has happened to the church in the last 2,000 years? You know, we sit here, and we just kind of feel like we have the right balance of Bible and faith. How many feel that way as I do? Yes, just two of us. The rest of you are dishonest. Because you know I've got something to say about this. You know me. But let's be honest. We think we know best, and we think we know right. After 2,000 years, and when you look at the history of man and God, man, you see multitudes of different views. You see, and I'm talking about the real church. I'm not talking about cults and different things out there. I'm talking about real church, real people who love God. There's always been a remnant of people who love God. But I'm talking about real Christians. They had all kinds of different views. In fact, they would debate about it all the time. Clear through history, even today, you got the one guy who's a Calvinist and the other guy's an Arminian, and even today they debate that stuff. Which one's right? If I ask the Calvinist and I ask him, who's right? You know what he's saying? Well, I'm right, of course. And vice versa. Oh, I'm right, of course. Because it's our nature, and it amazes me. Even in the church in America right now, when you see the fussing and feuding that goes on and the difference of opinion of Christians. I was telling some people this this last week, or maybe the week before. I said, it's amazing how the church has made it. It's amazing how the church has even grown and exploded. And let me tell you why that's the reason, why it has. Not because of you or because of me. It's because we know a basic thing. Now get this, because this is part of following Jesus Christ. Jesus said and talked about the gospel. Paul said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel about Jesus Christ is a thing that has saved people, not your programs or my programs, not even Awana or Rowdy, not any of those. That's not what saves kids. What saves kids is Jesus Christ and the gospel. And so we have a lot of different opinions. We have a lot of different ideas on even how to raise children. I was talking to Carrie and I were talking about that yesterday, and she said, yeah, I just tell people that, parents, that, yeah, you're the one responsible for their kids. I'm not. You're responsible for God. I'm not. And I think that's a good attitude because we all have a lot of different ideas. But let me tell you, parents, preach the gospel to them. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Paul said when he came to Corinth the first time, he said, when I came to you, let me read it to you in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you want to follow Jesus better in your life, make Jesus the subject of your life. If you truly want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you love people. You love people. If you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you hate your mom and your dad and follow Jesus. Now, I know that sounds weird, but let me read you that scripture. Now, listen to this. And I know you know this, most of you, but some of you are new Christians, and maybe you've never heard this before. But in Luke 1, verse 25, now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Holy cow. That's harsh. And that's hard. Now, he's not saying the meaning of that is not hating people. That's obvious, right? Jesus loves people. Jesus gave his life for people. For God so loved the world, people, that he gave his only begotten son. So what does he mean about that? In comparison to loving God, now think about this, and your family or your friends, there's no comparison. Would you get that? And would you think about this? Would you process that? Would you consider that? The comparison to loving God and people around you, even your family and friends, and even your own life, There's no comparison. That takes some thinking about that one. That takes some looking in a mirror and not at other people. Because I got to tell you, anyone here who would say, oh yes, I'm there, I love Jesus so much more than anyone else. I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Even Will. I mean, that candy's cute in a bug's ear. That's what he's called her his whole life. I got it right, by the way, Will. Usually I say she's cuter than Bug's butt, but anyway. But think about that. So we're going to follow Jesus Christ. What does that mean to you that you're going to love him above everyone else? That means no matter what your family does, you're going to serve God. No matter what anyone else around you do, you're going to serve God and you're going to live for God and you're going to follow God. You're going to do his will, his bidding. You husband and wife, don't follow each other, follow Jesus. If your husband is a jerk and an idiot, I thought I'd get an amen to that. But anyway, if he is a guy who just doesn't care about God and is wishy-washy, you follow God. Because let me tell you, in you following God and putting God first in your life, just maybe, he'll come around. But if you love him more than you do Jesus Christ, and you make him God, you make him the one you're following, he doesn't have much of a chance because he loves being God. He loves to be followed. So, excuse me, my mouth is just dry as can be. You know, sometimes when, as a pastor in my weak moments, I'll look at some of you. I'm talking about my weak moments. Now, when I say weak moments, I mean sinful moments. I hope you don't think that I walk on water. But in my weak moments, after I've preached something and I see someone just absolutely going against it, it bothers me. And in my heart, I want to say to them, stop it and follow Jesus. Now, I had to look in a mirror, I know. There's times that I'll see someone who, and I'm talking about in my weak moments, in my sinful moments, I'll see someone who's having a self-pity party. And I haven't had many of those parties. I've had a few. And so I'm bitter than that person normally. And so I look at that person who's having a self-pity party and in my sinful nature, after I've preached on following Jesus, I'll look at them and I'll say, stop it and follow Jesus. There's been times, and one time in particular, someone wanted me to listen to watch a YouTube thing on a group of pastors, and they were very sharp pastors. In fact, some of them I've listened to their podcasts and I still do today. But they bothered me so terribly. They irritated me, I mean. And what they were saying were true. It was true. But they would name other pastors. And one pastor is like, it gets the most criticism from other pastors in the United States. And I wonder if it's because he's got the largest church in the United States. It has anything to do with that. I can't bring that judgment, but I wonder those things sometimes. And I watched that thing, and I watched them do other videos and of other churches and things they were doing and things that the pastor was saying, and they were just critical. And most of the things they were saying, they were right. But let me tell you, they were wrong in what they were doing. Because at that moment, they were not following Jesus Christ. They were just being full of criticism and self-righteousness. And Jesus said, beware of those scribes and Pharisees. Beware of them. And then, in my godly moments, I remember thinking to myself as I listened to that. No, I think I didn't think it to myself. I think I said it out loud. In fact, I think the one who sent me the video, I told them, they need to stop it. They just need to stop it. And they need to follow Jesus Christ. They need to stop it. Stop that criticism. And then, this week as I was meditating on this, sometimes I make myself laugh. And I was thinking about what I just went through with you on self-pity and people self-pity, they need to stop and follow Jesus Christ. And I stopped for a moment and I started laughing. Because I thought to myself, Dave Manning, you need to stop being critical of those who are critical and follow Jesus. So say, stop it. Stop it. Oh, you did that with enthusiasm. Worship team, come on up. Some of the things that Jesus did in following God and what God wanted and what he wants us to do. You know, one of the things that Jesus did is that he washed feet. I mentioned that last week. But I just feel like we don't get the picture. Dirty feet. I mean, he just didn't wash them ceremonially. They were dirty. And he washed their feet. Now listen. Their feet weren't like our feet. Covered in socks and shoes. When you walk barefoot a lot and you walk with sandals, and you have clippers that you clip your toenails, I'm telling you, their feet were gross. It was beyond gross. And Jesus washed. They washed their feet. They were a mess. Now that tells me something about washing feet, because that's one of the things that Jesus, as followers of his, that we need to wash people's feet. Now let me tell you what that means. It means that people are a mess. And we need to love them and wash their feet. I'm afraid to say that most Christians shy away from messes and they like things a certain way. I'll never forget in our church, someone said we had a daycare and someone brought their child by and they said later in church, they said to someone, I just happened to overhear it and I was very critical. They said, I just don't like it. All these welfare people are beginning to come to the daycare. And it just, I don't want my child to be around them. Yuck! Can you be self-righteous with me? Come on. That's yucky. That's bad. But now, wait a minute. Let's look in a mirror. Are we around messes? You remember Frosty? Frosty was such a mess, man. He lived right over here. We love Frosty. In fact, we even, in the fence, we put a gate on it so he could come and go, and I could go. I'd go over and sit with him in his little mobile place there. Oh, it stunk so bad. Oh, my gosh. He had these pugs that did all their duties on the carpet and stuff. And he smoked these gnarly cigars. And he had dishes out that were, it must have been food there for weeks. And I would go in there, you know, it never bothered me. I got to tell you, God's grace on my life. I didn't invite my wife to go with me in there. But that would have really been grace. But man, I fell in love with Frosty. I loved that man. And he was a liar. Oh, he would tell tales. He told this time that he was flying an airliner. And he wanted to see if he could get that airliner to, you know, big old passenger plane. And so he took that airliner and he did a loop in the sky. Now, I did not believe that. To this day, I don't believe it. But I tell you what, Frosty, that man gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll never forget the night that he came in on a Wednesday night and people were in the side room in a little circle. And I think it was Chris that told me about it. He went on that side. I'm not going to say exactly what he said. But he said, "This is the GD-est best church I've ever been in." Only he said it. And of course, Chris, she passed out. And they had to revive her. Because people are a mess. Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, "I didn't come to those who were whole, but I came to the sick, the downtrodden, the weak and frail ones." Are we going to follow Jesus? Find one of the messiest mess you can find and serve him and love on him. And I'll tell you what will happen. The grace of God will come. And you'll find a strength in your life that you've never had before. Because his will becomes your meat. Your will is your poison. Let's stand and sing the song. Stop making your messes and start cleaning up some messes. And what I mean by that, start following Jesus Christ. Start doing his will. And you'll find power in your life. You want the meat of the word? That's the meat of the word. doing the will of God. So, Father, today, as we go, we want to go in power. We want to go with our hearts challenged to keep our eyes upon you, caring about other people even more than we care about ourselves, loving people, reaching out to people, and always keeping our eyes upon you. Lord, we thank you. Your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Love one another as you go today.